WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Hello, and welcome to WrestleSpective Radio at FairToFlare.com. I'm Jason Mann, and with me today is my fellow FairToFlare cohort, Mitch from Pizza Body Slam. Mitch, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good.
Great.
Great. We're glad to have you on the show, and we are continuing the SummerSlam main event series. Today we're talking about SummerSlam 1996 between Shawn Michaels and the man they call Vader. Whose name, in fact, is Vader.
They do call him that for a good reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it's quite a it's quite an interesting kind of a different match than WWE normally would throw out there in a main event. It's a little bit more ornate. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's I guess perhaps because Vader's in it, it has a very much an early 90s WCW feel to me. Kind of in the style of the match and in the, I guess the booking of the match, the way it's presented. So we'll get into that. But, obviously Shawn Michaels in 1996 had a pretty fantastic run as WWE champion. I mean, he had, an incredible match just before he won the title with Owen Hart, at the In Your House 6, and then he had the Iron Man match with Bret at WrestleMania. He had an awesome match with Diesel at the In Your House after WrestleMania. Had possibly my favorite Shawn Michaels match with the British Bulldog at King of the Ring 96, and then has this one, and then has another great one with Mankind at the next pay-per-view, and then Survivor Series pulls out an awesome match from Sid. So he was really on a roll this year.
Yeah. I think it was the drinking and the drugging that he was doing. I think that put him on top of his game. It was the best Shawn Michaels I ever did see was on drugs and drinking.
Yes, yes. And although I will admit that the parts of Shawn Michaels' personality that are grating and obnoxious overwhelmed the awesome wrestler for me a lot of the time in 96 and 97.
Yeah, you definitely see glimpses of it in this match, just the way he kind of carries himself. And at one particular moment, which we'll, I'm sure, get to when we start talking about the match, where there's kind of what seems to be just an awkward top rope spot, but then he starts yelling at and berating Vader.
Yes.
But yeah, like, this is my favorite, like, Shawn Michaels, maybe it was the drugs, I don't know, but he was, like, bumping all over the place in this time of his career.
Where oh, yes.
In 96, he was at his best for that and just, like, so awesome to watch and so, like almost, like, effortless. I'm sure there was much effort going into it, but just it looked effortless the way he would, like, fly around the ring and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, his moves were so fluid and so, you know, like, everything he did pretty much was spot on and just very graceful. And, you know, I guess kind of like Steamboat and Savage-esque, you know.
In yeah.
A way. I mean, just, you know, the way it definitely harkened back to them. I mean, not, you know, people know Shawn Michaels was great. We don't need to harp on it too much. But, but yeah, he really was great here. And Vader, you know, he had come to WWE in early 96. Kind of, I don't know, kind of got a big initial thing and then kind of meandered a little bit. I guess he did have the monster versus monster thing against Yokozuna, but really, you know, he was around, but he wasn't really the focus until just before this, because they did a six-man international incident and Vader pinned Michaels in that match to set this up.
So, yeah. The build to this, and I can't, maybe you might think of something, but I can't think of anything too much other than this as being his kind of, like, peak and pinnacle in WWF, because other than that, he wasn't, he was more cartoony than he was in WCW.
Yeah.
And not even like a fraction or even a glimpse of what he might have been in Japan. Like,
right, right.
He I know Jim Cornette's very vocal about how Vader was one of the biggest missed opportunities that Vince McMahon had, and how apparently he wanted to like call him just the Mastodon or something ridiculous. I wish I looked that up before we started this. But I totally agree with that. Like, I think Vader is awesome and should have been, you know, I don't know, focused on much more than what he was through the late 90s.
Yeah, and he was awesome here too. You know, and I mean, he might have slowed down a little bit from his peak, but he was still he was still great. And you know, he did have some good matches. I mean, he had some pretty good ones with Undertaker. He had really good ones with Ken Shamrock. I think some with Brett, and that was mostly like Raw stuff. I mean, you know, so he had his moments, but you know, this was really his only time as in the top feud, in the top mix, and it lasted for a month, and pretty much then, you know, he faded from there, you know?
Yeah, he was never the, like, main focus at any time. Like,
he
barely challenged for the title, and that was, this, I think, is, I would say, his kind of...
His peak, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this kind of felt like it felt like they almost had to do it, and so they didn't really get like fully behind it. But they, you know, but they, you know, I mean, I guess it was a SummerSlam main event. I mean, that's not nothing either. So.
Yeah, and what I think, to get back to what you were saying about this feeling kind of like a WCW match, or I think part of that definitely is not just because Vader's in it, but because he's treated like the like monster and like the badass that he is, where he's just like. Tossing Shawn Michaels around the ring, and he's been built up to, you know, he could take the title. Like, it's, he's a threat, and he's not, you know, just kind of like an afterthought.
Right. Yeah. He's not just like some big lumbering guy. He's the big guy, you know, with the athleticism and the, you know, really hard punches and really just, you know, the beast, basically. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we have, you know, kind of the match goes, Vader initially sort of dominates with the lockout, gets a show. Short clothesline, but then Shawn's able to catch his leg, get a leg sweep, get a bunch of like drop kicks and kicks to the head, and kind of punches him down on the ground. So it's almost like Shawn beating Vader at his own game for a minute there. And then Vader tries to toss him, but then Shawn ducks and leverages him to the floor. Then he follows it with a baseball slide and a pretty famous clip of Shawn doing a plancha out of the ring. You've seen that one in a lot of, you know, highlight clips and so forth. It's a pretty good one. The way the camera was shot, I mean, really got him, you know, like Shawn coming at you. It really is a very good thing. So Vader has to kind of, you know, regroup. There's a funny moment where Shawn sort of jumps out again and gets in between Vader and Cornette, and then Cornette like is sort of like spooked by it and sort of like scurries away, and then Vader misses a punch, then Shawn gets him again, so he's really, you know, he's doing all the tricks. And then he hits a top rope axe handle, then follows with the Hurricanrana, and then he jumps on his shoulders. Shawn jumps on Vader's shoulders and then dumps him outside and then skins the cat in. So it's just a real big flurry of Shawn doing crazy stuff and getting some offense and taking control. So that's kind of the first part of the match.
Yeah, he is in control of the match, and they it's like they're inside the ring, outside the ring, inside the ring, outside the ring, all within like 2 or 3 minutes. Like, it's maybe not even that. Like, they're just flying all over the place. And I don't know how many people expected that right off the start for a match that included Vader in it. Like, he is toppling all over the place, and it's really awesome to watch. And before we continue with the match, I wanted to mention the entrance, because we didn't really get to that.
Sure.
I wanted to, because of how awesome, excuse me, how awesome and hilarious I always find Shawn Michaels at this time. Because he was, again, like, the crowd, when you notice at the start, there's obviously there's a lot of guys who are for Vader, but there's a lot of girls who are for Shawn Michaels, which is what you would expect. And a girl comes over the rail who kind of looked a little bit like DJ Tanner from Full House.
Oh, yeah.
Tries to, you know, get a little hug from Shawn Michaels. Who doesn't want a hug from Shawn Michaels? I would probably try to do that. But I always found his entrances funny, and the way Vince McMahon would describe or, like, call his entrance mm-hmm. as if he was calling the end of the match. He would have such like energy in his like gurgly voice, like, I can't, you have to hear it. I can't do it or else I'll just sound like an idiot. But he would be so excited because I think he might have had a small man crush on Shawn Michaels the way he would call his entrances.
Yeah, we talked a little bit, I talked a little bit before about how Shawn, like how Vince really, you know, Diesel and Shawn really, like, you could tell the enthusiasm that he had for them.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that for every single guy that was champ. Like, I don't think Brett quite ever had that with Vince. You know, well, I mean, he would put over any guy who was the champion as an announcer, but
yeah.
He just does it with such a, you know, such an enthusiasm with yeah. certain guys that it's interesting. You know, maybe we're just reading into that. Maybe because we know Vince kind of, you know, who his favorites kind of have been at certain times yeah. and so forth. But I don't know. I do feel like it seems like it's a real thing to me.
I think so. It yes. always made me laugh. I forget which, if it's Raw or what, but a point in time where Shawn Michaels stands up on the announce table and starts like dancing and stripping. And Vince McMahon is just like, oh yeah. Like loving it. You know?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. Shawn always, like, when during this time, just he just grated on me, you know?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of guys. I think there's a ton of guys in the crowd who are just like, oh, like, I don't like degenerate.
Right. I mean, and I was, you know, I was still young, and I was like 15 or 16, where I was still young enough that I wouldn't have had, like, the, like, he's not a tough dude guy kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know? That's something I worry about for the yeah. most part, but yeah, I don't know. There's something about Shawn and just, yeah, the natural arrogance and the natural cockiness coming out that bothered me for a very, very long time. And I never really got behind him that much until kind of late in his career. But
I was 10 years old for this match.
Okay.
So for this, like, Shawn Michaels reign, and I loved Shawn Michaels up until he screwed Brad.
Okay.
Quote unquote.
Right.
But, so I don't know. I was like into all the table dancing and all the studded cap wearing shenanigans.
Studded cap, yes.
Yeah, 10-year-old me was just all up in that Shawn Michaels.
The ponytail. I love the ponytail.
Loved it.
Yes.
But he flipped it around.
He did. He flipped it around very, very prettily. So, Vader is able to get control as Shawn tries another Hurricane Run outside, although he gets powerbombed, although kind of gently by Vader. He was sort of...
It was a little bit of like kind of just like a tuck into bed kind of thing.
Yes.
But that was when I watched it once and I have it going again.
Uh-huh.
I love wrestling. And he kind of hits his head a little bit. It looks a lot harder when you... like, cause at first it looks like he's like setting him down gently. You're like, kind of like, come on. Like, it wasn't quite like a Sheamus on Jamie Noble type... powerbomb,
right?
Which is a weird example to use for this, but it was a little lighter, but I still think it did its job.
Okay, fair enough. Like Vader like picks up Shawn like in the power slam position, and then just walks up the steps, goes to the apron, and then just dumps him in the ring, which is pretty mm-hmm. cool. And then Vader punches him in the corner, just really like goes after him, you know, punching him in the face with some clubbing forearms. Shawn's tossed around into the turnbuckle and falls outside. And then Vader tries a back suplex, but Shawn punches him. And then Vader tries again, but flips out and punches him. And then Vader misses a charge but hits a hard clothesline. So Shawn taking the brunt of things, trying to avoid, you know, moves, but obviously Vader kind of dominating at this point.
Yeah, that was great. I love that part of the match. There was like a ton of, well, Vader dominating, but also a few like spots where Shawn looks like he's gonna come back, you know, those hope spots where it's like, oh, here he comes, but then Vader's always, you know, one step ahead of him.
Yes.
Thought that was really good and kind of had the crowd right where they wanted them.
Yes. And then Shawn is, he's dumped outside. He tries to skin the cat and catches Vader head, but Vader simply drops him in. and then follows a little bit with a modified Cobra Clutch, which Sean eventually punches out of. According to Vince, he is feeling the power of the click. Although okay. My typo is actually feeling the power of the flick.
Yes. You used a flick to get out of that Cobra Clutch.
Yeah.
Flick right in the head.
Yeah.
I think Sean's click is at ringside in matching Neon Windbreakers.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
So if you can check them out during the match,
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah. Sean gets a nice running knee lift and a clothesline, although Vader does not go down. He tries to slide under him, but Vader sort of stomps on his chest. But then when he goes down for his butt drop, he ends up in hitting crotch first in Sean's knee. And Vader never really hit that. Vader, that was always a kind of a Vader miss. He almost always missed the moonsault, and almost always missed the drop down butt splash.
Yeah, because I think those would result in actual death.
Well, that's a good point. Yes. Vader comes off the top and hits sort of a stomp instead of an elbow, which might be the point you were talking about.
That is exactly the point I was talking about.
Because he seemed mad. I guess Vader must have been out of position or something. But
I don't know. I couldn't figure that out because
it seemed like he should have been able to land it. So
I'm almost wondering like if Sean messed up. I don't know. Like, this is something you'll never know unless you talk to one of these guys. But like, right. I just wonder, like, was he supposed to move? But if he was supposed to move, why did he just land on his feet? Like, there's so many questions. I have so many questions.
Yes. Yeah, maybe Vader is supposed to put his foot up. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, because he's just yelling and just, I don't know what he's saying, but he's yelling something very, probably vulgar at Vader.
Yes.
Which is something, I guess, if Vader was the one that messed up, is probably the only time you could yell at Vader in that way.
Right. Although Vader actually, like, from what I've heard, he was kind of a little bit of, like, you know, I've heard him described as a pussycat. It's like a little bit of, like, I think Foley talked about that some in his book, where Vader's, like, a kind of, like, a sensitive guy who doesn't really like to get into fights. Like, he's obviously vicious in the ring and honestly took some liberties with people, especially in the WCW days. But as far as, like, his personality goes, isn't really a fighter.
That's true. And if you saw his Boy Meets World appearance, you also knew that he was a very nice man.
That's true.
But wrestling is real to me, and I believe that Vader could kill me at any second.
Okay, well, fair enough. I'm not going to shatter your illusion. I'm not going to tell
you. Don't take that away from me.
I won't. I would never do that. So we have Vader with a crossbody block, or excuse me, Sean hitting Vader with crossbody.
That would have been awesome.
Yes, and they both spill to the floor. Sean, still a little mad, swats at the camera. He's sort of tossed on the side of the ring, and then Vader presses him and then drops him onto the rail throat first. And Vader makes his way into the ring, and then Sean is immediately countered out.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, so that's it. Until Jim Cornette demands that they cut the music and challenges Sean to a comeback because, you know, he doesn't want to be a chicken. And, you know, and obviously they came there to win the title. So Sean, he gets a little bit of help from officials, but then he decides, dag nabbit, I'm going to go and fight back. So Vader ends up actually attacking him on the outside, even getting into a little bit with Jose Lothario.
Yeah, he kind of swatted at him in a weird way.
Yeah. And then Cornette ends up giving Sean a little bit of a shot with a racket while the referee is distracted by the kerfuffle. Mm-hmm. And then Vader in the ring, they hits an avalanche and then gets a really nice belly to belly for two.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I forgot what a good belly to belly suplex he has.
Yeah. He whipped him around crazily and it looked so painful.
A good belly to belly suplex is a nice, you know, thing to execute. Owen Hart had a great belly to belly suplex too.
He sure did.
Yeah. It was completely different in, you know, because
his was running, like,
quick smack. Yeah. Snap. But yeah, his was really great.
Yeah.
He tries to set up a power bomb, but Sean punches him down, and then Sean is able to duck some clothesline that hits a flying forearm. He kips up, which perfect. I forgot to mention that our commentary team is Vince McMahon, Jim Ross, and Mr. Perfect. And Perfect says, "Give me a break," which I'm not sure if he's just frustrated at Sean at his remarkable recuperative ability or maybe his lack of selling. But
right.
Either way.
He was not pleased either way.
Yeah, because Sean did very much do the John Cena thing here where he was seemed perfectly fine again. But
yeah, he was so fired up too. Yeah. And like I was just like, I don't know, totally like lost in it. I was just loving it. I was just like ready for him to kick Vader in the face. I was pretty pumped up.
Yeah, he had some really good intensity here. He hits an elbow drop. He teases a sweet chin music. Cornette tries to interfere, tosses the racket in, and then Sean gets the racket and then nails Vader and Cornette repeatedly. So it's a disqualification.
Yeah, he is just smacking everyone with the tennis racket.
Yes.
Like, I think unexpectedly some people weren't ready for that one. But but yeah, then it's DQ and it's over again.
It is over again. Until Jim Cornette issues Sean another challenge. And we decide to go again. First, Vader brings in a chair, and then we get like everyone in the ring, even Gorilla Monsoon. And then eventually order is restored, and then Sean just goes right after Vader. He tries a sunset flip, but Vader again misses the butt splash. Sean hits the elbow drop. He teases the sweet chin music, which he then lands, but then Vader kicks out at two, and we got like a wow kind of moment, you know.
Yeah.
And Vader ends up tossing Sean into the referee, knocking him out, and then he hits a powerbomb on his own. And the second ref comes in pretty quick, but it's only a two count as well. So basically, they've kicked out of each other's finishers. I guess Vader's finisher really isn't a powerbomb, but it used to be his finisher anyway.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. One still of the pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like at that point, I was just like, this match has everything. It has, you know, it's like kind of awesomely overbooked with like the countouts, the DQs, the restarts, ref bumps. They're kicking out of finishers. They're doing everything.
Yeah, it kind of has like a Memphis kind of Southern style feel. And I think maybe Cornette has a big part of that, you know, because of his promos kind of, you know, setting up the challenges and sort of, you know, maybe even like a Smoky Mountain feel, though I haven't seen a whole lot of Smoky Mountain, but kind of given the reputation and what I have seen, it, you know, feels like this could have belonged there.
Right. Kind of like pulling out all the stops, and there's like, you know, like stories going on within the match where it's like, you know, constantly challenging and trying to regain that title, even though the match has already ended.
Yeah. And then Vader, he sets up the Vader bomb, the pump handle splash off the second rope. He's about to do it, and then Cornette says, no, go to the top and go for the moonsault, which he does, and then he misses. And then Sean goes to the top and hits his own version of the moonsault and the standing one, and then that finishes for three. And there's a big, big reaction for that win. So I mean, Sean gets a electric pop, one of the biggest, you know, I can recall him getting for a win. So
yeah, there's a fan in the front row wearing like all Shawn Michaels gear who nearly does like a vertical leap over the rail. He jumps so high. He was so excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was, because I didn't notice that the first time around. I was like, oh man, he loves Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Yeah, and I also love Shawn Michaels. but yeah, this match was really great. It was a lot of fun to watch again. That moonsault at the end, he clobbers Vader.
Yeah.
I think his knee comes in contact with his head. At least the commentary definitely led me to believe that, but watching it a second time, it did look like there was something going on there. So it was a perfect finish to the match, I think.
It was really well done. And I don't know, it could be argued, and I can certainly see the argument that maybe, you know, throwing all that in was a little over the top, but I do think it worked. You know, I do think overall it was, because in theory, this kind of protects Vader if you do rematches too.
Yeah.
You know, so of course they didn't do rematches, but if they had, you know, this kind of gives you a way of doing that while still giving, you know, Sean the big win. So, you know, I can see that from that perspective, and just from, you know, and making an entertaining match perspective, you know, I think it worked. I mean, not that they necessarily needed it, because they would have had a great match either way, but it did, you know, this is different from, like I said, most WWE matches don't have, at least particularly in this era. Now, once you kind of get into some of the 98 stuff and 99 stuff, when you really have the Russo influence booking, then you would get some of these shenanigans. I'm kind of thinking like Over the Edge 98, another instance where that stuff really, really worked.
Yeah, another great match. That's Austin Foley.
Austin Foley, Over the Edge 98. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, 98 was definitely a period where every main event had, you know, tons of finisher kickouts, table breaks. It seemed like no DQ for every match.
Sure.
And some it worked for, some I think definitely fell flat. But
yeah, I think it got overdone at a certain point too.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this at this point with Vader and Shawn Michaels, I always wonder like if there's ever a main event where they're worried that there isn't like a name value or like that marquee kind of matchup where it's like two huge superstars going against each other. Wonder if there is then a decision to try and create a match that's more memorable, you know, just between the ropes instead of something that had the crowd before, you know, they started the match. Sure. Like, surely the crowd was all for Sean, and they're really hot for him for the whole match.
Yeah.
But you wonder if, like, okay, we're going to, I don't know, have two restarts and have all of these DQs, countouts, kickouts, everything like that, just because it's, I don't know, not as big of a bill as it could have been.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that feels like something you do with more limited guys. Like, you know, you figure Sean and Vader can do it on their own, where, like, you know, guys who just don't have as much experience or aren't, you know, like that's like a, where like a Vince Hulk Hogan situation, you know,
right,
where you have to throw like 1,000 things in to make it interesting, or else people will, it'll die. Where exactly. So, but yeah, this, I mean, again, this worked. I think you might have liked this match a little bit better than I did, although I think it's very good. It's entertaining, certainly. You know, I'm not sure it's quite an essential, but it's borderline that, you know, for me.
Yeah, I just think it's like perfectly enjoyable. Maybe it was, I haven't been watching too much older stuff lately, but yeah, I just threw it on today and really liked it.
It was fun. Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. It's definitely worth, you know, checking out if you get a chance. So
yeah, totally.
All right. Well, anything else we should talk about?
I don't know. The only other thing I was gonna say was my first memories of this match are really strong for some reason. I don't know why. If this is like one of the first matches that like made me like totally fall in love with wrestling or not, but I first thing I thought of when we were going to do this podcast was, believe it or not, Stride X-Gum.
Okay.
Which sponsored the event and ran ads on the back of WWF Magazine with Shawn Michaels on it. And I guess that's like ingrained in my brain. Like, I will forever know that Stride X sponsored this event, and that's just weird.
Okay. Did you say Stride X-Gum?
Did I say Stride X-Gum?
I think you might have, but...
Oh. I'm just mixing up Stride X and Trident.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it, for whatever reason, I am just, it'll forever be tied with me. And I'm just, I don't know. The first thing I thought of, second thing I thought of was the studded cap.
yes, the studded cap.
Yeah. This is like a match from my youth that it'll just be in my blood forever.
Okay. See, this is a kind of a period where I'm getting back into wrestling, but it took me until really mid 97 where I like was like fully back.
Right.
So I was watching occasionally, sort of paying attention. I don't have like much specific memories of this. This I remember from watching later, but I don't, you know, I remember some of the WCW stuff, like the early NWO stuff, but but this I remember less, but it's definitely, you know, it's fun to watch. It's in, you know, 96 is, you know, looking back on it, really a heck of an era for, I mean, you know, a lot of the pay-per-views delivered that year. There's a lot of stuff that's really rewatchable from that, you know, that really holds up very well. And I mean, you just had incredible talent and incredible depth, and you still, you know, it was a great time.
Yeah, it's like 96 was definitely like a classic year for, or at least Shawn Michaels was definitely a classic title reign.
Sure.
By going through, you know, Diesel, Bulldog, Vader, Mankind, Goldust, all of these wrestlers just one after the other, like setting up contenders and then just taking them down until they meet Sid at the
Survivor Series. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And like contrasting that with 97, which is a little more chaotic, a little more crazy. I think 96 was a really good year looking back on it. Maybe as you're living through it, it may not have been quite as good.
I think that's a good point. So, all right. Well, thank you. Thanks for being on the show, Mitch, again. Always appreciated.
Thank you for having me. I just realized I have my Vader mask and I didn't wear it for the podcast.
Oh.
Totally stupid. Even if I was the only one that knew that I was wearing it.
Yeah.
I think I would have brought a little more to the podcast.
Yeah, I could have been wearing my La Parca mask as well.
As long as you're not in studded chaps, that would
no, I'm not.
We should sign off.
Okay. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Keep checking out fairtoflare.com and wrestlespective.com and pizzabodyslam.blogspot.com. And of course, we continuing to have a SummerSlam podcast and our countdown all the way through the big events. So keep checking us out. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Let's be honest. Most wrestling websites suck. BS rumors, schoolyard gossip, plagiarism. It's no wonder why no one believes anything they read on the internet. Well, if you can't get something done right, you might as well do it yourself. Presenting the Fair to Flare Quarterly from the writers of fairtoflare.com and over a dozen other wrestling websites. We're not copy and pasting what we read in some newsletter. This is 100% original content from the best wrestling bloggers on the internet. In-depth analysis of the art of pro wrestling, debate, artwork, and humor. The Fair to Flare Quarterly will raise the bar of what wrestling journalism can and should be. Professionally edited and produced, and every contributor will be paid for their work. Order your copy of the Fair to Flare Quarterly today at fairtoflare.com. The better wrestling media has arrived.